Come before you. Father, we just lift up your holy name this morning. We thank you for this, for what we've already heard. We thank you for even better things as Brother Horton and Brother Thurston come forth.
Yes.
Father, we look forward to you every Sunday for this time to be with you. Father, we just thank you and praise you and glorify your mighty name for what take place in this service each and every Sunday. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. Glory.
Oh, yeah.
This is the Father's house.
Oh, yes.
This is not the hog pen.
Thank God.
There's glory in the house.
Yes.
Peace in the house.
Yes.
Healing in the house.
Thank you, Jesus.
Salvation in the house.
Thank you, Lord.
Prosperity in the house.
Amen.
Everything you need's in the house.
Amen.
Everything you want's in the house.
Amen.
It's not in the house, you don't need it. If it's not in the house, you don't want it. Glory
Amen.
To God. Praise the name of the Lord. This is, Brother David pointed out, it's not quite Rosh Hashanah yet, not till sundown. It begins at sundown because that's when the Jewish day begins, so we're not there yet. But at sundown it begins, and it begins the new year.
Is it sundown in Israel right
now? No, it's not even sundown in Israel. They're about seven hours ahead of us. So it's not sundown yet in Israel. What would that be? That'd be about 4 or 5 o'clock, I guess, huh?
Getting close, ain't it?
Yes, getting close.
Yeah.
Close to sundown, that's right. Praise the Lord. So we may be, the rabbis in Israel may be prepared to blow the shofar as we're fixing to blow the shofar here. But blowing the shofar, the Lord commanded the shofar to be blown on holidays, new moons, and for various times and purposes. The year of Jubilee was inaugurated by the sound of a shofar. And without the sound of the shofar, there would be no Jubilee, they say. Unless the shofar was blown, there would be no Jubilee. So it's absolutely imperative. And this is the time of blowing of the shofar. It's a time of, the time that we live in, it's a time to sound an alarm. The alarm is that there are perilous times have come, and the return of the Lord is very near, and we need to be watchful, because we need to, that's right, there are false doctrines on every hand out there that would take us away and get us all messed up, and draw us away from the Lord. So we need to be watchful, we need to be awake. And the shofar, that's one of the things the shofar does, the watchman upon the walls of the city blew the shofar at the first sign of trouble. The watchman sounded the shofar. So we're going to sound the shofar this morning. As we do, we remember all these great things the shofar stands for. Yes.
And part of that stuff that you blow, it means different things?
Yes, the sounds that... The sounds, when I sort of put them all together, every sound the shofar makes means something a little bit different.
Oh, okay.
So the long drawn-out blast means come up. That's when God said on the Mount Sinai, when the shofar sounds long, when it's drawn out, the people may come up to the mountain. So that's the come. That's the come to me sound. And the short staccato blasts are the warning sound. That's a sound of alarm. Yeah. So there's about three sounds that I make. I get them all in there. So we hit all bases. Cover all bases.
So they really had to listen during them times.
Absolutely. They knew.
It is to hear.
That is absolutely correct. They knew what those sounds meant. At one time, the shofar was considered to be a sort of a quasi weapon, because it was the sound of warfare. So it was the sound of, you know, prepare for battle. And at one time, when the Jews blew the shofar, the Romans heard it and they thought that there was a that the Jews were rising up against him. The Romans took up arms and began to slaughter the Jews. Mm-hmm. And because of the blowing of the shofar. So then the Jews had to be careful about, from that time on, they had to be very careful about when and how they blew the shofar. And so the Romans would be all get up in arms when they heard the shofar.
Yeah.
But so there's a lot of history behind the shofar. Mm-hmm. And so we remember that as we blow the shofar. I'm going to blow the shofar right now, and in Jesus' name, when we hear the sound of the shofar, we're all of the enemy's attacks are, we're going to proclaim that they are broken off.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that we are free. This is a, we are free of the enemy's attacks. Mm. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Praise you, Father, in the name of Jesus.
I want to say this, and it's something maybe I haven't shared with you, but when I'm in a service and it's very anointing, and when I raise my hands, there's a pulling from the middle parts of my hands. It happened when you blow that.
Whoa.
When I raise my hands, I could feel that pulling.
You know, it's when the shofar is blown, sometimes miraculous things happen.
Mm.
There was I'm going to tell you the story. I bought all of my shofars. I bought from Temple Bethel, and that's the conservative synagogue in Birmingham. And I always go there. When I buy a shofar, I always try them out before I buy them, because some of them sound better than others, and I like that high-pitched sound that you just heard.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind I want. So they let me blow the shofar in there. Mm-hmm. and to begin with, they don't let me blow it in the gift shop anymore. Because the last time I blew the shofar in the gift shop, something very, very peculiar happened. There was the proprietress was in there, and that's where the shofars are. So I asked her if I could, you know, blow it. So she said, yeah. And as I blew it, I heard a sound behind me. It was a strange sound. And I stopped blowing the shofar, and I still heard the sound. And I turned around and looked, and they've got glass shelves, and they've got all kinds of little figurines of various types on the shelves, you know, about so high. And I looked around, and I saw there were three or four of those little figurines on the shelf, on the top shelf, were dancing.
Whoa.
Jumping up and down.
Whoa.
Oh,
I'm
writing with it.
Oh, my goodness.
Jumping up and down. That was the sound I heard, and I looked around and saw them, and they were bouncing up and down.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
And so the woman said, you better not blow that in here anymore. So that was the last time I blew the shofar in the gift shop.
Oh, mm-hmm. It's under the sanctuary, is that what they do?
Yeah, so now I go into the chapel to blow them and try them out. But,
whoa.
Yeah, you do, I've heard that before, and sometimes you feel things like what you just described.
Mm-hmm.
It's a peculiar thing that happens a lot of times. When the shofar blows, you want to expect something to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, of course, the story of the walls of Jericho. When they blew the shofars, the walls of Jericho fell down flat. And so the shofar is a very peculiar instrument.
Mm-hmm. It's an instrument of warfare. Joshua certainly used it as one, and Gideon, of course, blew the shofars when he made his attack with his 300 men. He blew the shofar, and they broke their pitchers that they had. And everybody down there, all of the enemy, rioted. And, of course, they began to kill one another. And Gideon didn't have to do anything much but just clean up the mess after they got through down there.
Isn't it supposed to confuse the enemy?
That's right. The rabbis say that the blowing of the shofar confuses the enemy and breaks the enemy's power.
It confused those enemies.
It certainly confused that enemy. That is correct. And then we have a biblical example of that. That enemy was so confused by the blowing of the shofars that they began to kill one another.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. All right, well, that's my part for the day. Praise the Lord.
All right.